ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are reading from Srila Prabhupada Leelamrita, Chapter 3. A few days before Prabhupada's departure, Madhudvisha Swami complained, "I am not feeling very enthusiastic here. I think I need a change." Prabhupada asked him where he wanted to go, and Madhudvisha replied that he was thinking of Australia. Prabhupada said, "Yes, I am going there. You also come." Brahmananda Swami told Prabhupada that the preaching was deteriorating in Nairobi in his absence, and Prabhupada agreed that he should return to his duties there. Again, Prabhupada had to choose a new Bombay manager, and this time he chose Giriraja, a young brahmachari and leading preacher in making ISKCON life members. Prabhupada reasoned that since the essence of management was to collect donations and make life members, and since Giriraja was expert at that, then even though he was young and otherwise inexperienced, he set the most important qualification. He had the most important qualifications. Prabhupada had already found Giriraj to be simple and submissively dedicated to helping him to develop Hare Krishna land. Giriraja, Srila Prabhupada said, "You will do, Giriraj?" I said, "Yes, Srila Prabhupada, whatever you say." I wasn't actually very happy about it, but I understood that one should be surrendered to the spiritual master, and whatever he said, one should do. So I accepted. Prabhupada said that good management meant that whatever needed doing, you do it, that's all. Later I went in to see Srila Prabhupada and he was sitting behind his desk. He said, "Now the full responsibility is on you." I winced when he said that, because I wasn't used to taking responsibility. During Prabhupada's stay in Bombay, Hans Kielman, a young architect from Holland, had come to hear the lectures and had become interested in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada convinced Hans to become a devotee and to help the Hare Krishna city in Bombay. Under Prabhupada's direction, Hans at once began to make architectural drawing for the buildings. Hans, Prabhupada said, "Now you listen carefully. Lord Krishna has sent you here. You must design these temples for him. You must do this very sincerely and not be afraid." I was completely surrendered. That moment was really ecstasy for me. He had a pile of photographs on his desk and he gave them to me and said, "Look at this." I looked at the pictures and they were photographs of the new Govindji temple in Vrindavan. He said, "I want you to make a design like this." So I asked him, "How big, Srila Prabhupada?" He gave me a piece of typing paper and said I should draw on this paper. Then he gave me the photographs and a pencil and a ruler. He took me to the next room and told me to sit down at the table. Pradyumna was there with all his Sanskrit books. Shyam Sundara was there typing the letters. And suddenly I was in between making the drawings. Prabhupada said, "Giriraja and others would have to collect 64 lakhs of rupees for the construction." The devotees had no idea how they would raise even a fraction of that amount, but Prabhupada gave them some ideas. He talked to them about enlisting the support of influential men by using the Beninama system, whereby a person purchases the use of the guest room for life, and there were other ways. But the immediate step was to get the land. They had possession of the land, but before building, they should have the deed. Since Mr. N was already overdue in delivering the deed. Prabhupada told Giriraj to press him to comply with the written agreement and deliver the deed at once. Srila Prabhupada's last lecture in Bombay, he spoke about the six Goswamis of Vrindavan and the bittersweet ecstasy of their hankering to be with Krishna. Some of Prabhupada's disciples took it that Prabhupada was speaking about this because he was himself going to be leaving for a long time. At the airport the next day, there was a joyful farewell as Prabhupada waited for his flight to Australia. Sitting in the VIP lounge, surrounded by devotees, Prabhupada watched Madhudishya Swami lead an ecstatic kirtan. If you go on having kirtan like this, Prabhupada told the devotees, our Bombay project will be successful. When Prabhupada saw Mrs. N had come, he exclaimed, oh, Mrs. N, you are also here. You are becoming one of us. Actually, Srila Prabhupada, when he got this land, finally Mr. Nair died. Then that time Prabhupada was in New Zealand. And Giriraj Maharaj called. Actually, nowadays we all have so many phones running up thousands of rupees bills, right? Prabhupada said at that time, if you are making a trunk call, that means you are a very bad manager. You know, so Prabhupada was completely against devotees making it, especially trunk calls and international calls. You know, very rarely, otherwise everything was done by correspondence, like that. And then Srila Prabhupada was, that time he was in New Zealand. Then Prabhupada took the phone and then he started shouting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Then Shraddha Ketukuri asked, what happened Prabhupada? Oh, Mr. Nair has died. You know, then Shraddha Ketukuri was very surprised. How come Prabhupada was so happy that somebody died and then he was so happy? Then Prabhupada, understanding the mind of Shraddha Kirti Prabhu, he explained, Modeta Sadurapi Vrishtika Sarpahatya. When a scorpion and a snake are killed, even a sadhu is very happy. Then Srila Prabhupada said, actually I prayed to Lord Nishingadev to kill him because he is giving too much trouble to the devotees. Later on they thought troubles are over, but they found Mrs. Nair is more demonic than Mr. Nair. You know. Then finally Prabhupada, she started getting nightmares, you know. I think some Lord Nishingadev is going and threatening her. She was getting nightmares and she was not getting sleep. And then Prabhupada told, you sign the land, I will make sure that you don't get nightmares. You know. Then finally she wrote the deed. And then after the deed was written, She started crying. Then they thought because of so much turmoil was there, that I think it's all over, she is crying. Because that day morning itself, it seems, they asked, what happened, why are you crying? Said, it seems that day morning itself, she got a better offer. I think some 17 lakhs, something like that, this land. She got some 35 or 40 lakh rupees worth offer she got. But she already agreed, like that. So Prabhupada was, then later on Srila Prabhupada commented that like he felt like Arjuna, you know, because there was a long battle and then all his disciples also, they were saying, why, you know, land is so far away and not much public was there at the time. And then they were all wondering why Prabhupada was so much insistent on purchasing this land only. You know, with this money we can get better land. Like that they were thinking. But Prabhupada actually promised to Sri Sri Radha Ras Vihari that I will build a, like last time he said, please, my dear sir, please stay here. I will build a marble palace for you. Like that. Right? So later on, finally, when they got that land and all, so then Prabhupada was giving a lecture. So at that time, Mr. Sethi, he was supplying khichdi because they didn't have any money. You know, they didn't have any. We are all, you know, now we throw prasad. And like in Mumbai, Prabhupada said, no Mangalarti, no prasad. But in Mumbai, we cannot implement. But in Delhi temple and other temples, they can implement. Right? In some temples, 9 o'clock prasad is finished means finished. You won't get anywhere. Here you know, LM prasad, Maha prasad, yeh woh. Right? But previously they were not getting enough prasad. And then Mr. Sethi arranged a pandal, and then he started cooking and then supplying khichdi to the devotees. Like they didn't have any money at the time. And then Mr. Sethi was saying once that there was no money, and then for 2 months he gave it prasadam. Then he told Prabhupada, now I can no longer supply prasad. Please make some arrangement. Then they were taking out all the tarpaulin and all, and then one lorry came, and then somebody sent all the ingredients, you know, all that stuff. Then Mr. Sethi was thinking, actually I am not the doer, you know, Krishna is the supplier. I am thinking I am giving prasad, but actually Krishna is giving. Then Srila Prabhupada told, so that was the situation, you know. Another time one devotee was recounting, in Mayapur when Prabhupada was there, he was on second floor, all the devotees were sleeping. And then Prabhupada called Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Jayapatak Maharaj, Bhavananda and all, said, I don't like this, all the devotees are sleeping, what happened, they are sick. You know, you should do something, you know, they should do parikrama, like that. Then Srila Prabhupada, then they said, Prabhupada, what to do, we don't have money to supply nice prasad. That was the situation. Said, no, then meanwhile Sudham Vipra Prabhu, he came it seems, that time Swami. Then he was known for very aggressive behavior. So he is the one who started preaching in Philippines, Japan and all. So he would not allow anybody to come to Philippines. If any GBC goes, he will threaten them. You can't come here. You know, this is my zone. Then Sudham Vipra Prabhu came. Then Prabhupada was thinking, okay, Sudham Vipra will give money. You take from him. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj, they were all shocked. He would rather kill than give a dime, because he is not known for giving any money. Then it seems he took out his very expensive watch and he gave it to Prabhupada. Said, Prabhupada, you supply nice prasad. Like that. So they had so much difficulty, you know, that time, even for getting nice prasad. But Srila Prabhupada was there, and then just can you imagine some hippie coming in and becoming a devotee and designing all these temples? Right? So this is all Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Srila Prabhupada empowered them like that. So Prabhupada was giving a lecture after the land deal was over, and then he closed his eyes and he was telling, every pillar should be marble. Every pillar should be marble. All the dome should be marble. Everything should be marble. And those two towers, you know, like international, it should be international guest house. Prabhupada wanted like that. Just like we read before, Prabhupada wanted 60 lakh rupees at that time. Prabhupada, they were all the devotees were thinking, we are not having khichdi to eat. How are we going to collect so much money to make a marble temple? You know, that was, everybody was thinking. But Prabhupada said, my only disease was that I always think big. You know, like that. So that was like that. Then Srila Prabhupada, always, Giriraj Maharaj also says this, that Prabhupada said, once there was a Sandhya Arati was going on, devotees were not there. Srila Prabhupada called Giriraj Maharaj and he asked, where are all the devotees? Prabhupada, they all went for collection. Prabhupada said, no, they should come back and attend Sandhya Arati. And then Srila Prabhupada said, our strength is spiritual strength. Mr. Nair, he was a very well-known politician, editor of Free Press Journal, and he had so many gundas. He got defeated. We don't have anything. You know, people are against us, government is against us. You know, we didn't have any money, but still we won it because we had spiritual strength. You know, spiritual strength. And this spiritual, Prabhupada said, this spiritual strength we get by attending all morning program, evening program, attending Bhagavatam class, evening Bhagavad Gita class, chanting 16 rounds, following four regulative principles. So simply by doing all these things, Prabhupada said, Krishna will supply. Right? So that was the secret of many successful temples. You know, construction temple, So Prabhupada had always grand designs for Bombay temple, and we see how Prabhupada, you know, so much concerned about this. Prabhupada had the extraordinary ability to bring a spiritual vision into physical reality, to change a part of the material world into spiritual energy, so that even a common man could perceive the spiritual reality. This was Prabhupada's constant effort. Often a transcendentalist hesitates to deal with the material world, fearing he may become spiritually wicked. The Vedic injunctions, therefore, warn the transcendentalist to avoid associating with money and materialistic persons. But Prabhupada, following the principles taught by Srila Rupa Goswami, saw that everything material had the potential of being used in the service of Krishna and thus regaining its spiritual nature. Following this principle, an expert devotee, although apparently acting within the material sphere, could remain always in touch with the spiritual energy. For such a devotee, nothing was material. In the Vedic scriptures, the great devotee Narad Muni, because of his ability to convert materialistic men into devotees, is referred to as Chintamani, touchstone. Just as Chintamani is said to convert iron into gold, so Narada could transform a beast-like hunter into a pure Vaishnava. And as Narada is glorified in the Vedas for accomplishing such feats in bygone ages, so Srila Prabhupada is a similarly potent touchstone in the present age. Again and again, he showed by straightforward application of Krishna consciousness that he could change a materialist into a completely renounced active devotee of the Lord. And now, after recruiting a number of devotees from Maya's camp, he wanted to engage them in transforming as much as possible of the material world into a living spirit. By his transcendental visionary words, he was attempting to convert stone and human energy into glorious spiritual temples. While ambitious materialists sometimes criticize transcendentalists as unproductive, Prabhupada, because of his constant activity, could never be so accused. Rather, people would criticize him as being a capitalist in the dress of a sannyasi. But such criticism never deterred Prabhupada. He was carrying out the desires of the previous acharyas. He had written this conclusion in the Srimad Bhagavatam even before coming to America in 1965. Therefore, all the sages and devotees of the Lord have recommended that subject matter of art, science, philosophy, physics, chemistry, psychology and all other branches of knowledge should be wholly and solely applied in the service of the Lord. Prabhupada wanted to convert significant portions of the material world into the spiritual world. In attempting to construct a spiritual city in Juhu, he realized he was launching a major attack against Maya. Within a few months, so many complications and headaches had already disturbed his plans, and more would come. The battle was just beginning. Sometimes Prabhupada's disciples found the work to be draining and stressful. They would become bewildered. They had come to spiritual life for bliss and not for anxiety. Prabhupada's presence and his constant encouragement helped them remain steadfast. He knew that once they tasted the nectar of selfless dedication to Krishna, they would never accept anything lesser. He would encourage them, reminding them of the words of spiritual predecessors like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who had said, "Difficulties undertaken in the course of your devotional service, I will consider the greatest happiness." In India, spiritualist means they don't touch money. Right? Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, Vivekananda, they don't touch money. Right? Once Prabhupada was in his quarters, Giriraj Maharaj brought the mayor of Mumbai at the time. So Srila Prabhupada requested Guru Krupa Maharaj, to collect money for Bombay temple and Vrindavan temple. So Guru Krupa Maharaj, he was saying, he used to bring 20 lakhs, 10 at the time, 10 lakhs like that in a big suitcase. Srila Prabhupada, he was always very careful. He told Shatakirti Prabhu that Prabhupada would never give the key to the cupboard where he would keep money and documents to anybody. Anybody. He said, see, well. Then he told Shatakirti Prabhu that whenever somebody brings some money, you should always count. Otherwise, if the servant sees that the master is not counting, he will become corrupt. Because it's okay, now anyway he is not counting, so he will take out of 100 notes, 500, 1 500, he will put it in his pocket. Anyway he is not counting. Right? So you should like that. So whenever somebody would bring cash, however big, large amount it is, Prabhupada would sit and count. He would sit and count. Then Prabhupada, he would sit and 10 lakhs, 5 lakhs, he would count. Then Prabhupada would say that these Mayavadis, they say, don't touch money. I will say, bring me more. So once Prabhupada brought, Giriraj Maharaj brought Bombay mayor, at that time Prabhupada was counting cash. 1970s. And that was a very big shock to that mayor, because Hindus, they have a good, some idea, sadhu means he should not smile, he should be very serious and grave, and he should not wear expensive clothes, he should wear torn clothes. Right? But these are all, but Srila Prabhupada introduced a new method. Then he told actually that ISKCON devotees, they should dress like millionaire sons when they go to meet somebody. Don't wear torn clothes, and Prabhupada would ask, why you didn't iron your kurta? Like that, he was very particular. So mayor was surprised, Prabhupada was so much cash and he was counting. Then in between, Prabhupada was asking, any doubts? No doubts. Then that mayor commented to Giriraj Maharaj, your spiritual master is a different spiritualist. Many people, once I had a lecture, Prabhupada is saying that in New York 1966, so that time, they didn't have any money. And then Prabhupada, after the lecture, they would pass around a box and they will put some dollars, $1, $2 and all that. And then prasadam, one apple. And then Prabhupada was so expert, seeing the number of devotees, he would cut the apple, in such a way that they will get one piece. And then he would fit one piece and then distribute everybody. That was nectar for them, one piece also. Like that. So Prabhupada told Prabhupada was writing in his diary that today I wanted to eat suji ka halwa. Suji ka halwa. And it didn't have any ingredients and all. And then I was just thinking how to eat. Then after the lecture, one American gentleman brought suji ka rava and sugar. You know, and Lord Chaitanya sent me through this person, you know, suji ka rava, because I wanted to eat halwa like that. And then Srila Prabhupada, then he was telling in the lecture that all of you, whatever little money you can give, then he said, even if you are earning impiously, still you can give, because everything belongs to Krishna. You know, everything belongs to Krishna. And then that money also belongs to Krishna. You may be a thief, but that money, by giving it to Krishna, that money also will be purified, and then you also will be purified. Right? Because if you make that kind of discrimination, only from pious people will take. Because of so many people, they give their black money to ISKCON, you know, donate, just put it in the hundi, or donate. So if you say only nice people would give, you know, how all these people will get purified? So Srila Prabhupada is a visionary. You know, yesterday I was reading first kind of Bhagavatam. Prabhupada was writing, when Bhishma Dev, he was on the deathbed on the Ampashaya. So all the personalities, they came. So it is written that according to the situation, Bhishma Dev offered respect to all the personalities because he was unable to get up. So Prabhupada said, if somebody is not able to get up, he can speak very sweetly. So Bhishma Dev spoke very sweet words to all the guests who came. Like that, Prabhupada said, Acharya is an expert, you know, in adjusting according to the time, place and circumstance, everything, so that the preaching will go on. Right? The preaching will go on. Srila Prabhupada said, his God brothers used to criticize Prabhupada, that because he was a businessman, that is why he was successful. Because their method of preaching was, you know, collect 1 rupee for house, from house. Even now also they do, that is called madhukari. You know, in and around the place, in order to collect 100 rupees, they will spend 50 rupees rickshaw to collect 100 rupees. You know, like 100 rupees per month, like that they have so many members. See, but Prabhupada had another vision. Said, you make life members, collect money, you know, big approach, you know, big people, and collect big donations. Right? So, humko 1,000 rupees collect karne ke liye hum nahi jaate hain. Right? So, main bolta hu, aap hi deke aa jao. You know, so to collect 1,000 rupees, you spend 500 rupees petrol. There is no point, you know. But Srila Prabhupada always thought, you know, big. Like that. So this is a very unique contribution. Then Srila Prabhupada said, for myself, I can sit in a poor hut and do my bhajan. But if I build a poor hut, you will not come. You know, they asked, you know, why you are building such big temples? You know, in India, many people ask, why you are building a big temples? Okay. What did Prabhupada tell, you know, to them? There are already so many temples. Why are you also building so many temples? Why not? What required? Huh? What did Prabhupada reply? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. He said, Prabhupada is very... said, there are already so many children. Why you are also making your own children? Right? Say that. So, Srila Prabhupada, so that's why Srila Prabhupada built this temple. Then he wanted in guest house, all the foreigners, they should come and stay here, and learn Krishna consciousness. And he said, if it required, you supply them coffee, tea and coffee. Even in Vrindavan also, he said, you for guests, you can give them tea and coffee. Bring it outside and give them tea and coffee. But they should come and stay here like that. So Prabhupada was very practical. You know, Of course, we don't do it. That's another thing. But Prabhupada said like that. So this is called Yukta Vairagya. You know, engaging everything in Krishna's service. Right? So they were Madhvas, they were criticizing Prabhupada. Are, how we cross the oceans? You know, because sannyasis, you know, according to Vedas, sannyasis should not cross the ocean. Right? They should not cross the ocean. So they, none of them would go to abroad. Sri Vaishnavas and Madhvites. They would, now you know everywhere they are copying everywhere. ISKCON. They also go now. Otherwise previously they used to criticize. What kind of sannyas? You are crossing the ocean like that. So Prabhupada did many things like this. You know, whatever, that's why Prabhupada wrote first kind of Bhagavatam. You know, an acharya can adjust the principles, you know, according to time, place and circumstance. Like Prabhupada, there was never nothing called Brahmacharini ashram. But when Srila Prabhupada saw in America, men and women are treated equally, so they are required, then Prabhupada made Brahmacharini ashram. Right? Like that. So Srila Prabhupada is very pragmatic and very intelligent preacher, you know, and then accordingly he adjusted so many things like that. Chapter 4. Prabhupada travelled with three disciples, Shyam Sundara as his secretary, Pradyumna as his servant, and Sanskrit editor, and Nandakumara as his cook. The first stop was Singapore, where, without explanation, immigration authorities refused Prabhupada entry into the country. Sympathetic Indians in Singapore had arranged for Prabhupada to lecture, and he even mailed hundreds of invitations. But Srila Prabhupada, disappointed and feeling ill, had to continue the 12-hour flight to Sydney. And Singapore is the only country, huh? They refused. Prabhupada could never go. Very unfortunate country. Prabhupada planned to stay a few days in Sydney before going on to Melbourne. Although the Krishna consciousness movement was young in Australia, Prabhupada saw positive signs. Devotees to initiate TV and radio appearances and an interested crowd at his morning lectures in the temple. This was only his second visit to Australia. On his first visit, almost a year ago, he had installed the deities of Radha Gopinath and had prayed to them, "Now I am leaving you in the hands of the lectures. I cannot take the responsibility. You please guide these boys and girls and give them the intelligence to worship you very nicely." Now on returning and seeing the deities beautifully dressed and well cared for, he felt happy. After 5 busy days of preaching, he flew on to Melbourne. There is one gentleman, he went to Australia and he saw devotees preaching nicely, chanting and dancing. You know? They were so enthusiastic. And then he liked the devotees very much. They gave him nice prasad and all. Then he promised them, "I will give you the deities." Right? So he sent, you know, one set of Radha Krishna deities, marble deities to Australia in Sydney address by the ship. When they reached there, the address has changed because they were living in a temporary place. Address has changed. So the deities have come back. You know, the deities have come back. So that time he was in Mumbai, and then another person gave these Radha Rasayari deities to Prabhupada. So in Mumbai Pandal, he installed both the sets of deities, Radha Gopinath and Radha Ras Bihari, in Pandal program, in like that. Then he took the deities, you know, to Australia. Prabhupada took the deities to Australia on his lap, you know, to Sydney, like that. Then he installed them. Then there were no devotees, initiated devotees, second initiated devotees, nothing. Then Prabhupada prayed to Radha Gopinath that, "I am leaving you in the care of Sudras. Please teach them how to take care of you." Then he initiated some raw devotees into second initiation. So that's what Prabhupada was saying, that now he saw, you know, Radha Gopinath actually taught them how to serve him. And the devotees were very happy like that. So this is how deity worship happens. You know, if you serve the deities nicely, and then they will teach you how to dress them, how to serve them, you know, and sometimes they will talk to you also. You know, there are stones, you know, but right? So all this dressing and all, you know, sometimes you should listen to the deity, what they want. You know, they teach you like that. In Melbourne, Prabhupada spoke on the town hall, and all the Melbourne hippies came. There was a man there called the Wizard. He used to be a professor at the university, but he resigned his post so he could carry out his shenanigans. He was very intellectual. He was dressed in a black cape and leotard. And he got up as soon as Prabhupada asked for questions. He had a group of his own followers. First he spoke very respectfully, "Excuse me, Your Divine Grace, I have been listening to your lecture, but I have one thing I would like to say in this regard. I believe that I am God. I am the center of the universe. And I will prove sometime next year that I am the center of the universe." So once Prabhupada, you said, one person came in New York, said, "I am God, I am God." Like that he was shouting. So okay, then Prabhupada said, "Please accept my humble obeisances." then when he was going, Prabhupada asked, "While crossing the street, if you see the red light, will you stop?" He said, "Yes, I stop." Yeah. Then Prabhupada said, "Then you are not God." Another time, somebody was shouting, "Can you see God?" He was shouting, "Can you see God?" "Prabhupada, I can see God, but you are obstructing. Please sit down." One Mataji, this so many crazy people, huh? One Mataji, she came. She was from San Francisco. You know, San Francisco, she would go on the mountain and then she would meditate that I am God, I am God, I am the one who created the sun, I am the one who created the moon, like that. So one day she was meditating, because you know San Francisco weather is very fickle. When the sun rises, when the rain falls, it's all. So she was meditating that sun should raise, "I am God, I am ordering the sun to, you know, raise." Like that she was meditating. So whole day sun did not appear. Then she got a doubt whether she is God or not. So later on, she happened to attend Prabhupada's lecture, first time in San Francisco. Then Prabhupada was speaking. I may think that I am God, then I can go out to the mountain and say that, you know, sun will raise, but sun will not raise, because if I say that sun will not raise, you know, only when it is morning, 6 o'clock, then the sun will raise. And then that Mataji thought he was speaking to me. Then she became a devotee. <You know? laughs> Like that, so many crazy people, they used to come. Like that. Prabhupada said, "That's all right. Everybody is thinking like that. What makes you different?" Actually, the Wizard's whole game was that he would wait. He wanted to be different. His dress and everything. So Prabhupada exposed him as just another materialistic fool. Everybody started laughing and clapping. The devotee had just opened a temple in New Zealand, now Auckland, April 14, 1972. A few weeks before Prabhupada's arrival, Prabhupada stayed a couple of days and installed Radha Krishna deities, Burijana. Prabhupada installed large marble deities, but there was only one girl to take care of them. Prabhupada was insisting that the deity should be installed anyway and that they should be taken care of properly. He demanded that they should have many sets of clothes immediately. So some devotees built a temporary wooden altar and put up a curtain for the deities. The curtains fell down, everything was going wrong. It was confusing and everyone was upset. So Srila Prabhupada just took over. He said, put this here, put that back up there, do this, do that. He completely took command of the whole situation. The devotees put the curtains back and Prabhupada said, get rid of this Vyasasan. And they took the Vyasasan out because it was so big and the room was so small that there was no room for the people. Prabhupada just put a mat on the floor and sat down on that. Prabhupada visited for one night in Hong Kong, where he lectured at a program arranged by Burijan and his wife Jagat Tarini. Burijan: we had taught the Indian children to sing the prayers to the spiritual master, so we had them sing for Prabhupada. He looked at me and he was really pleased. Then he said, your wife said there are no interested people, but you have so many students here. I said, you have so many students, Prabhupada. At the end of the lecture, Prabhupada asked if there were any questions, and a little Indian boy raised his hand and asked, who started the forest fire? The boy was thinking of a forest fire mentioned in the Krishna book, in Krishna pastimes. But all he said was, who started the forest fire? But Prabhupada took the question in a different way, that this material world is like a blazing forest fire, just like a prayers to the spiritual master had described. So Prabhupada said, no one started the forest fire, it starts automatically. Just like in the forest, by the rubbing of the two bamboos, a fire may start. But by chanting Hare Krishna, we can get out of this forest fire of material life. In Japan, the devotees lived in an old farmhouse in the hill country outside Tokyo. Srila Prabhupada stayed in a nearby hotel, installed Radha Krishna deities in the temple, and awarded sannyasa to ISKCON Tokyo's leader, Sudama. Prabhupada said he knew the pulse of his disciples. Thus, he had recently sensed a tendency in his leading managers to be absorbed in management and not enough in preaching. He had been telling his secretary that GBC men should not simply sit behind their desks and try to centralize power, but should become detached, take sannyas and travel and preach. With this in mind, he had awarded the sannyas to order to two of his GBC secretaries, Tamal Krishna and Sudama. Now he advised that they not give up their managerial burden, but follow his example of preaching and managing their GBC zones in a renounced spirit. Shyam Sundara: Prabhupada's hotel room had rice paper walls and was very cold. It was like coming back into the northern climate, but without central heating. One day I came to Prabhupada's room for Mangala Arati and I had a blanket wrapped around me. I said, are you cold, Prabhupada? I could see he didn't like the cold. But he wasn't going to let that stop him from serving Krishna. Nandakumara: at the Sunday feast, there were about 30 Japanese people, mostly young, and every single one brought Prabhupada a flower, put it at his feet and paid full dandavats. They were so respectful. Prabhupada said it was a good sign that these boys and girls are able to honor a saintly person. Burijana: we had arranged a program in Kobe. Many Indians and Hindis lived there. It was a long journey out of Tokyo. They put Prabhupada on the third floor of the house and there was no elevator. Prabhupada just put his chin out and walked right up, even though it was a tremendous effort for him. The engagement was arranged in such a poor way that on the same speaking program with Prabhupada was a Mayavadi sannyasi. Prabhupada wanted to speak first, so he spoke in English. There were quite a few Indians there, about 100. Prabhupada explained very clearly and strongly that Krishna is God. Then the other sannyasi began speaking in Hindi. Prabhupada was just sitting there with his eyes closed, chanting japa. Suddenly he looked at us and said, start kirtan immediately. So we got up in the middle of the sannyasi speaking and started kirtan. So Prabhupada left quickly after the kirtan. When we got back to the room with Prabhupada, he explained what happened. He said, first he was preaching nicely and then he started explaining Panchopasana about the five different features of the Absolute. And then when he said that Supreme is ultimately impersonal, I could not tolerate it. Prabhupada said, I am like lion when I am out and a lamb when I am home. Prabhupada had business in Tokyo with his partner, printer, Dai Nippon. He was greatly pleased with the faith Dai Nippon Printing Company placed in him, giving him hundreds of thousands of dollars credit just on his word. One of the Dai Nippon executives even approached him submissively, inquiring about whether his son, who had died a year and a half ago, had gone to Buddha. A young Japanese executive who translated the older man's questions and Prabhupada's answers explained to Prabhupada, since then he has been very religious. He was the eldest son, Prabhupada asked, 20 years, youngest son. The two executives spoke briefly. He is asking how he can be relieved from such sadness when his son has died. Oh yes, Prabhupada said, the point is that success of everything depends on how Krishna is satisfied. That I have explained. He related the example of Sandipani Muni, the spiritual master of Krishna and Balaram. Sandipani Muni's son had died and he requested his two students, my dear boys, I will ask my child very young, if you kindly bring him, then I will be very much pleased. So Krishna went to the planet of Yamaraj and brought his son back. So you try to satisfy Krishna and you will be blessed. Your son will be blessed. You pray to Krishna, but wherever your son may be, he will be happy. You believe in reincarnation next birth? The young man spoke to the elder executive in Japanese. The older man nodded. Prabhupada continued, yes, so your son, he must have taken a body somewhere. So if you pray to Krishna, your son will be happy. He will benefit. Yesterday I was reading 11th Canto Bhagavatam. A very interesting aspect that why Krishna went to Yamaraj and to collect, retrieve his Sandipani Muni's son, and also why he went to Sutala planet to bring back the sons of Devaki. You know, so Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was explaining that actually Krishna came here. He was telling to Uddhava that actually I went to heavenly planets to purify heavenly planets to collect Parijata tree. Then I went to Sutala planet to purify that place also. Then he went to hell, to Yamaraj to purify. So Krishna, Krishna is the most merciful incarnation. That other incarnations, when they come, they just do their job and go away. Like Lord Nrisimhadev, maybe 1 hour, 2 hours incarnation, right? He came, he killed, then all the demigods prayed, Prahlad Maharaj prayed, then he went. Right? Like Vamana, Lord Vamana also, like that. But Krishna, he lived here for, so he said, 125 years I stayed here, he was telling to Uddhava. I went to Swarga also, purified. I went to Sutala planet, purified there. I went to Yamaloka, purified there. Only one place I could not go because I was so busy. I went all over India, many places, like that. But one place I could not go, that to Badrinath. I could not go to Badrinath. So please, because all the sages in Badrinath, they were waiting for me when they can see me and all. Naranara and Rishi also, they were waiting. Somehow, then he said, I even went to Mahavishnu Loka to give darshan there. Everywhere I went, but I could not go to Badrinath. So, on my behalf, you go there. Let's say he sent Uddhava to Badrinath. Like that. So, then Prabhupada's GBC secretary for the Western United States, Karandara, arrived in Tokyo to assist in dealing with Dai Nippon Printing Company. Prabhupada talked with him about his new project in Bombay. He also wrote two letters to Giriraja, urging him to begin constructing the Bombay buildings as soon as possible. He wanted Giriraja to model the temple after Jaipur's famous Govindji temple and erect beside it a modern high-rise hotel. And then you shall have the perfect Juhu plan. Prabhupada said, Hans, now Surabhi, should finish the drawings and get the city's council approval by June so that they could begin the foundation before the monsoon. I do not think that is possible, Prabhupada wrote. But if you can try for it, that will be nice. Hawaii, May 6, 1972. During Prabhupada's week-long stay in Honolulu, he installed the five deities of the Panchatattva, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Sri Gadadhara and Sri Shivas. Hawaii, Prabhupada liked the place very much. Prabhupada said, there is no enjoyment in this world at all. If at all there is any enjoyment, that is in Hawaii. Then he said, heaven on earth, Hawaii. Which the weather is very good, it seems, there. Govinda's Mataji, they were running a small temple there, and then she wrote to Prabhupada saying that Prabhupada is very fond of mangoes. Mangoes. She wrote to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you come to Hawaii, very nice mangoes I will feed you. So Prabhupada went to Hawaii, but mangoes are not there. Prabhupada, you have tricked me. Like that. At that time, all the devotees in Hawaii were wearing sleeveless t-shirts and bright colors, and they had really big sikkas hanging down very long. Prabhupada said, Gaudi Vaishnava sikka is an inch and a half across, no bigger. Bigger sikkas means another sampradaya, and they have to be knotted. So please note, Brahmacharis, now they have designer sikkas. They shave and they put, standing hairs. They design. Prabhupada, he asked, be very particular about our sampradaya, our tilak. Some devotees have this habit of putting this Radhakund tilak, black tilak. And some devotees, they have huge sikkas and all. But Prabhupada gave the dimension. Only an inch and half across. That's not the big sikkas, hanging. Right? Govindasi. Prabhupada stayed at a big house on the Makapu side of Oahu, right on the ocean. A very pleasant place. In the morning, Prabhupada would walk on the beach, and when he would return from his walk, he would sit down on a wooden bench on a little rock patio. We would all sit around and he would give a little morning lecture. Later he would walk around in his room chanting. One evening I went in a while, he was chanting and he said, 16 rounds finished today? And I said, yes Prabhupada, I am on my 16th round now, he said. That is good. Prabhupada was also thinking a lot about his Bombay center, and he asked me to do an architectural rendering of his idea for the Bombay buildings. Fortunately, an architect friend drew it up very nicely and Prabhupada was very pleased with it. Prabhupada had received a letter from French disciple Mandakini Devidasi, who was going to join a Russian boy in the Soviet Union. She was going there to marry him and assist him in propagating Krishna consciousness. When Prabhupada read this letter, he smiled in ecstasy. The thought of the Krishna consciousness movement increasing in Russia gave him great joy. Then he turned to Govindasi, preach while you are young. When you are old, retire to Vrindavan and chant Hare Krishna. Therefore, these centers in India are being built. But you cannot retire unless you have preached sufficiently. The mind will agitate. If you have preached, you can retire and chant Hare Krishna. So, preach as much as possible. Although sometimes Prabhupada could spend only a day or even only a moment with an individual devotee, that brief association would leave a permanent inspiration. The devotee would realize that although Prabhupada had touched them and given them guidance in a way that made these most important moments in their life, Prabhupada was also beyond the moment and the place that he shared with them and was contemplating deeper issues and praying to Krishna with an intensity that they could not understand. One devotee, Smaraharidas, he was recounting. One devotee from Kurukshetra, he came to meet Prabhupada in Delhi. And then he said, Prabhupada, we got a land. Somebody was offering a land in Kurukshetra. Yes, Prabhupada told him, you get a clear title, then we build a temple, chariot, Krishna and Arjuna chariot temple. Then he said, but clear, get a clear title. Then Prabhupada asked him, are you alone in Kurukshetra? Who is your partner? Then Prabhupada, there is no partner. I am alone. Prabhupada said, it's not good, you know, going alone for preaching. He said, get a partner. He told the Delhi manager, give him one devotee there to him. He said, Prabhupada, they are all busy. You know, like that. Then he said, what about this boy? Then Prabhupada told, there are so many devotees who are coming for darshan. Then he said, if they are coming to see me, that means they don't have any work. Send one of them. Then that Prabhupada, no, Prabhupada, I stopped. From today they are not coming. Okay, you send one. Said, who is, what about this boy? Smarahari. Said, Prabhupada is a pujari. Oh, pujari. Pujari means fifth class. I was wondering. That's why. Pujari means fifth class. You should preach. You know, preaching is first class. Pujari, what is there? Tulsi. Anybody can offer some lamp and agarbatti to Tulsi. I was thinking. I am a fifth class devotee. So, send him. He said, like that. So, Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada said, work now, samadhi later. Don't leave a pujari department. Okay, Hare Krishna.